Okay. So good morning, everybody. Good morning. It got really, really low in here and quiet. The room emptied indeed, man. The room emptied indeed. So it's good to be back. It was actually informative. We had a really good time at the conference. So I just want to quickly acknowledge that we, had this conference of dealing with safety and security. And believe it or not, I don't know if you noticed this when we laid out our floor plan, I guess, but we kind of either did it correct, like we did it intentionally or unintentionally. I don't know. But there's just some good things that have formed just because of our layout, like the fact that the kids' classrooms are close to the warehouse and there's two entrances. So we have a warehouse door and we have the front door. But because of the fact that we can easily get our kids into the safety area of the warehouse, if ever something were to come in the front door, like that's a short entrance and that's a quick entrance out. So there's some good things that we have going on, but there's just some things that we can start to do to button down and make our house a little more safer. Amen. So we got some good information. We'll probably discuss it more in our leaders meetings and everything like that, but I just wanted to give us a quick update. So you can probably cut this part out in the recording. So don't worry about it. That's fine. So, all right. So we're picking up where we left off, last Sunday, and it's a continuation, just because I gave us these 10, tips, so to speak, to a holy life. And so in that giving us these 10 tips, it wouldn't be very good of me as pastor, to just leave that there and just drop them off. And I mean, I could do that. I could let you guys be investigative and, you know, maybe be the Bereans that I know you guys are and go explore and dig and try to find out, you know, if I'm just making this stuff up. I'm not making anything up. But it's about holiness, and that's really what our goal is. So our goal is holiness, right? Do we agree? Okay. So if we understand that's the goal and it's an expectation from us, because that's what God's expectation is for us to be holy, right? That process is done how? Great. Sanctification, right? The blood of Christ makes us holy, right? All right. And we have that and we know that. And that's actually what we preach, right? When we go to preach salvation in Christ Jesus, we tell people that, you know, yeah, you don't like what's going on. Your life is miserable. You're not happy. Do you understand that through Christ, you're made new, right? That the blood of Christ gets rid of all of that old stuff. And now you are a new creation in Christ Jesus. That sanctification process literally cleanses us. But in return, we become holy now. Yes? All right. So if that's what we're supposed to do, and we know that's our daily life, or at least it should be our daily life, right? We have to do this on a continual basis, but it doesn't mean that we won't have issues, right? We talked about that last week. There might be bumps, might be things that throw a wrench in there. So these 10 tips, okay, are hopefully going to be some things that allow us to be better stewards with the holiness we have received. Does that make sense? Objectively, that's what we're trying to do. Hello, good morning. Okay? So I want to give us a quick refresher. So starting off, I mentioned this last Sunday when we were talking, but I'm actually going to bring it out in the full aspect of Scripture. So 1 Peter 1:13-16, if you could, Nolan. First Scripture. No, it's okay. All right. There it is. So therefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and rest your hope fully upon the grace that is to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, not conforming yourselves to the former lust, as in your ignorance, but as he who called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct, because it is written, be holy, for I am holy. So we now have this, you know, repeated, but we understand that this isn't about a mentality, so to speak. It is about how we behave, right? Be holy. Being is actually behavior, right? But not only that, but it even says our conduct. That means how we are conducting ourselves on a regular basis. That is what we are doing actively in all aspects. We'll get to that in a minute because, yes, your thoughts do matter, okay? We will talk about that. So the 10 things that I said that are going to help us achieve this goal were our ways being His ways, our actions being His actions, rightly relating with each other, caring for the destitute, not seeking harm, no false worship, not trusting in lies, not excusing sinful behavior, putting pride down, and surrendering to God's omniscience. You all remembered that, right? Yeah? I could have quizzed you, and you guys would have got 100? No? Maybe not so much? At least we have an honest guy over here. He's like, nope, I don't even remember one of them. You remembered one of them? Did you remember any of them? Any of those 10 things? No. Okay. At least you're honest again. Moving on. Maybe you should try to. All right. So what can we acknowledge from this scripture and what can we acknowledge from these 10 things? We have a responsibility to be holy as part of our new identity in Christ. We agree to this. Yes. Okay. What else can we understand? You cannot manufacture this. No matter how hard you try, no matter what you think in your own willpower you can do, because I know there's a lot of do-gooders out there, right? People that think, I'm a good person. I do good things. I do these good deeds. I do all this stuff. That's not holiness. That's just you doing good things. But you have a selfish motivation, which cancels out holiness. Because it isn't for who? It's not for Him. It's for you. You're trying to lift yourself up. Right? Okay? We can't do it out of our will or our flesh. It doesn't come out pure and holy. It's a selfish ambition or selfish motivation, okay? But most importantly, and this is the key, folks, when we have something that's telling us that because it is written, be holy for I am holy, what does that sound like to you? Did it sound like it's an optional thing for you to do? That doesn't sound optional. I didn't see if you want, right? Did you see that in there? If you want to, I mean, if you have time in your day to be holy, try if you can, right? If you can do it. I mean, I know you're busy, you know. That's not what it sounds like to me, right? It sounds very much like a what? A directive or a command. Yes. Okay. Now, I don't know about you and your time studying the word and being in the Bible, but, God gives out a lot of commands. Matter of fact, at one point in time, Israel was so stubborn that he decided to do kind of like what I just did for you guys. He said, I'm going to give you 10, what? Commandments, right? These are things that you need to do in order to be holy. Wow. It's like almost like I stole it from the Bible, kind of, didn't it? Seem like it? These aren't the 10 commandments, right? They're not the same. Right? But we understand that we've been commanded to be holy. Well, let me ask you a question. Using our Old Testament example of the Ten Commandments, did they do a good job of following the Ten Commandments? Matter of factly, one of those commandments literally said, thou shalt make no other gods before me. While he was getting that, down below in the mountain foot, they were making a idol, okay, of a false god. So clearly, the children of God were not very good at following God's commandments, right? What happens when the people of God did not follow the commands of God? Did good things come their way? No. There's called what? Consequences, right? If we do not obey God's commands, we should expect consequences. Yet, for some reason, we don't. We think we're better than consequences. Well, we have Jesus. They didn't have Jesus. Jesus, he covers the consequences. No. I'm sorry. That is wrong. You're living in a wrong and false faith. That is not what Jesus did for you. Jesus did not exempt you from consequences. He exempted you from eternal damnation. That's it. Consequences you still will have. And you will have to answer for them when you come face to face to God. Please understand, if you want to live a life that is not holy, you will have to answer for those decisions. But you will also have consequences. Some of those consequences will be immediate. And some of them might be long term. Now, I can't tell you what those will be. I'm not the one who gives them out. But I can tell you, they exist. Now, too many people live in this world where it's me and Jesus and everything's good and I just love everything and God's so good to me and all that stuff. And it's like, yeah, he is. But if you stop doing what he's told you to do, you're going to get spanked. And it should happen. He is your father. He's going to discipline us. Amen? Amen. So we understand this, right? But here's a good model. Romans 11, 16 through 22. If you would, sir. Romans 11, 16 through 22. Here we go. For if the first fruit is holy, the lump is also holy. And if the root is holy, so are the branches. And if some of the branches were broken off, okay, pay attention. Some of the branches were broken off. And you being a wild olive tree were grafted in among them. And with them became a partaker of the root and the fatness of the olive tree. Do not boast against the branches. But if you do boast, remember that you do not support the root, but the root supports you. First of all, I am grafted into the root. Because of the root being holy, I am now made holy, right? Lines up just with what we read in Peter, right? So we understand that because he is holy, I am made holy. It isn't because of what I do, it's because of what he has done for me. Amen? Okay, so we understand that, all right? Now continue on. You gotta hit the, yep. You will say then, branches were broken off that I might be grafted in. Well said, because of unbelief they were broken off and you stand by faith. Do not be haughty, but fear. For if God did not spare the natural branches, he may not spare you either. That means then, that even if those people who were in the tree, already part of the root, that were holy, could fall away, because of unbelief and be broken off and set apart. Granted, that makes room for you to be grafted in by the awesome glory of God. Thank you, Jesus. Right? Now, I'm not going to shrug away from the fact that this is also metaphoric to the example of Israel and the Gentiles. You have two different factions of people and that Jesus opened up the door for all to come in. Okay. But understanding this also has a relative nature to understand that we, even if we are in the branch, or as a branch, are grafted into the holy tree, can be, what? Removed. This is dire and must be understood as a believer, because there's too many people who walk around in their Christianity in this greasy grace, believing they can do no wrong and there is no walking away from salvation. I read that and I go, you're only as saved as your connection to the tree. And that is based on you being holy as he is holy. It isn't about how much you testify. It isn't about how much you claim the name of Christ. It isn't about how many things you do in your flesh and go, well, God said. Because I have many examples of people who said, well, we did this in your name, we did this in your name, and we did this in your name. And then Jesus tells them what? I never knew you. Because they weren't grafted in. They were not holy as he is holy. Do we see the actual bigger issue at hand of holiness? It is a serious subject, is it not? Yet it gets glossed over in churches because, after all, it's just covered under the blood of Christ. You're consecrated, you're made holy, you're a new creation in Christ Jesus. Now go and sin. No more? Oh, I'm sorry, I forgot to say that part at the end. But what do people do? They go and sin no more, or just go and just sin? They go and sin, right? And they live in a world of, but I'm forgiven. Did you repent first? Well, yeah. Well, how do you repent? Well, I go, I'm sorry, Jesus, you know. Well, I'm sorry means you just got your hands caught. That's all that means. Repentance to me means you don't do it again. But if you keep continuing to do the same sin over and over again, what that has told me in scripture is you are watering down the blood of Christ. Therefore, you are making those things that are holy, what? Common. Go back to that for just a minute. The more you continue to do this, the more you make the one thing that makes you holy into something that is common. Where do you think that's going to end you up? Are you going to stay attached to the tree? Nope. You won't. So this is a problem. Can we agree? And I want to be clear. This is exactly what a lot of people recognize and go, but, you know, I do things differently. I do things differently. Okay, all right, fine. I'll use this as an example. Somebody here go and bring $1,000 into the church. Somebody's going to go, oh, okay, I'll do that. Okay, great. Now, person goes to the bank. They put their card in. They withdraw $1,000. They come back and they put it in the thing. Okay, great. Now, another person goes, oh, I can do that. And they leave. They go to the bank. They pull out a gun and they go, I'll take $1,000, please. Now, did the $1,000 come back to the church? No, in both examples, $1,000 came back to the church, right? Both people went, got $1,000, brought it back, put it in the thing. Both did what I asked, right? What was the major difference between these two? One did it correctly, and one did it in sin. Yet for too many years and too many centuries, actually, Christians have been going about basically, I did it, at least the end result came out the way it's supposed to. The way we have done it has been bad. We have excused the how. We've made excuses for how we've gotten things done under the pretense, well, at least I arrived at the final destination where I was supposed to. And too much of that is where we lose, because holiness is not found in the final outcome. It's found in the way we got there. Do you understand the difference? It's important. It's so utterly important, right? Our problem is not what we are doing, it's how we are doing it. We get it? Okay, so we're going to go back to the very first two of these. The very first two of these was our ways being his ways and our actions being his actions. And this is in correlation with Jeremiah 7, verse 5. So if you got that there, right? For if you thoroughly amend your ways and your doings, if you thoroughly execute judgment between, I don't even need to go any further, just that first part before the comma. If you thoroughly amend your ways and your doings. Remember, this was in Jeremiah, right? And we read that whole section in Jeremiah, and I told you guys that this is exactly what God was bringing to us. These 10 things are all crammed in that one section for us to be holy. This is the how. This is actually the how. It's laid out for us right here in Jeremiah. Right? But I'm going to give you some more correlation. Instead of just leaving it there and going, well, that's it. Just do that. Amend your ways and your doings. I could do that, but I like to be thorough. Psalm 119. 1-6. Blessed are the undefiled in the way who walk in the law of the Lord. Blessed are those who keep his testimonies, who seek him with a whole heart. They also do no iniquity. They walk in his ways. Imagine that. You have commanded us to keep your precepts diligently. Oh, that my ways were directed to keep your statutes. Then I would not be ashamed when I look into all of your commandments. I want you to look at that and understand what is being said there. Our ways are not just his ways indiscriminately. Where are his ways found? In his statutes and in his commandments. Well, where do you think we find all that out? Everybody got a Bible, right? How much do you read it? Because honestly, your ways will never be his ways if you never find out what his ways are to begin with. It just won't come. And then in line are actions. Deuteronomy 4 verse 5. Yes? Or did I put the wrong one in? That's okay. Surely I have taught you statutes and judgments, just as the Lord my God commanded me, that you should act according to them in the land you which you go to possess. We have now not just been given the ways, but the acts. And the acts are according to what? Right. So Surely, I've taught you the statutes. So here we go. We have a correlation, right? Psalms tells us our ways, his ways, right? That first part, number one, is found in his statutes. Our actions are according to his statutes. So our ways need to be his ways. Get into the statutes. Once you get the statutes, your actions will be his actions. One and two. Now, by default, guess what? I can confirm biblically and tell you this will not happen. Our default status is what? Our default status is sin. Okay, well, I mean, yeah, maybe in our flesh. But even if you are a good behaving, well-learned Christian, my Bible tells me in Isaiah 55 verse 8 that my ways are not his ways. My thoughts are not his thoughts. That's what we are by default. That is our default setting. So here's why this is so important, because we cannot go into this mindset of being holy by going in through this method of, well, I'm going to be holy. Osmosis. Ever, I had this poster when I was in school. I don't know if anybody else had it I was in like probably third grade or something. It was a Garfield poster and it has a book on his head and it says learning by osmosis. Is this going to make me holy? Am I going to get, but hold on. His statues, my ways are going to be his ways as long as I do this constantly, right? It's going to happen. It's going to happen over time. No, it doesn't work that way, right? No, okay. Our default status is to be our own way, right? God knows this. That's why he outlines it for us in Isaiah. He's telling us that this is our default setting. Being holy is not just going to happen because we just go, well, I'm just going to be holy. Good luck with that. I guarantee the very first thing that comes across your path that's not holy, you're going to pick it up. You're going to go, ooh, shiny. What's this? This looks fun. Uh-oh. That wasn't fun. And you're going to get distracted. So what can we correlate everything that we just talked about? We're getting his ways and our actions in line, right? Our ways being his ways, our actions being his actions. One and two. Well, his statutes are his word. We all understand the correlation of that. Yes, right? His statutes are found in here. So if my thoughts are going to be the problem, how can I correct that problem? Have my mind renewed by the washing of the word, right? That means that here we go. This is where it gets really good. I'm going to give you the process now. I'm going to give you the clean process. Scripturally speaking, everything now has just been laid out. Here's how it flows, right? We understand this. It's a rippling effect. You ever throw a stone in the water? Creates ripples, right? First ring, and then it starts to spread and spread and spread out, right? My thoughts will affect my process. Do you agree with this or not? The things that you know and you think about will make a process of how you're going to move on from this next step, right? My process will dictate my way. Your way is your path, right? The process is, okay, I'm going to put a door in this wall. Okay? Now, I'm thinking about putting a door in that wall. All right. The process is, all right, well, I got to cut a hole in the wall, right? The way is going to be, at what point am I going to put the door in the wall? It's got to be between the two beams or whatever. I got to cut it out. I got to make it so it's a frame and all that stuff so I can put the door in, right? Okay? In that is also a what? In the way is a starting point and a finishing point. I have a goal now. The way includes a goal. The goal is to have a completed what? Door, right? That opens and closes on one side and the other. So I now have a goal in mind. Okay? My goal will affect my actions. I'm going to say this all again. My thoughts will affect my process. My process becomes my way. My way becomes my goal. My goal affects my actions. This is super important. If we're talking about holiness, and we're thinking about it from this direction, if we don't understand how this process works, we're going to make catastrophic mistakes. Because one point to the end point is going to divert our course. I'll give you another example. A bomb. Yes, I just said bomb in church. Don't say it on an airplane. Okay? Now, everybody knows what a bomb looks like, whether the movies or whatever kind of depiction, but there's many different types of bombs. Okay? Now, if a bomb were at your feet, you have two options. What are your two choices? Run? Or what would you, did you say kick it? What in God's name is wrong with you? You don't kick a bomb. It's not a soccer ball. You do not kick a bomb, okay? You either run away or you... No! You either run away or you do what? Diffuse it. Thank you. Thank you. We kick it, throw it, jump on it, elbow drop it. I mean, like, what do you guys do with bombs? Like, I don't know, man. You guys gotta watch more, like, you gotta watch more of those, like, action movies. Yeah. Okay. I'm glad we come to the final conclusion that your really two options in real life are run away or defuse it. Now, here's the thing. You can go ahead and think in your head immediately one of those two options. Which one of those is the right option? You said run. You said diffuse. Good. We have discourse. I love this. We have two diffuses. We have two runs. One of these options might seem right and one of them might seem wrong. But here's the reason. Diffuse is the right answer. Because running away means what? You're okay, but what about the next person? What about the next person who's going to come across that bomb? Are they going to be okay? Our job is to what? Be holy. If we know our final destination and we know we're going to be saved no matter what happens, if that bomb goes off or not, my objective should not be to run away and protect my skin. My job should be to protect everybody else's skin. Amen? Oh, now we're getting to the great question. Well, I don't know how to defuse a bomb. Let's go back to what I was saying, right? My thoughts will affect my process. My process becomes my way. The goal affects my actions. If my thought process is, I can't run away, I have to defuse this bomb. All right, well, I have to have a process to defuse this bomb. So I got to figure that out. Well, I'm sorry, we all lovely have probably good devices on our hips. We could probably call somebody like, I don't know, SWAT, bomb control. Look, I have a bomb in front of me. I need to figure out how to defuse it so I can save people. I need your help. I need you to walk me through this. They're going to tell you, you need some tools. Okay, fine. Let's get those tools. This becomes my way. Now my way is clear. The goal is to defuse the bomb. They're going to tell me what to do, what wire to cut, and voila, we're safe. Now I know I might have made that way oversimplified. And I probably would not be authorized to do that in real life. They would probably say, stay put, we're coming, and they'll defuse the bomb. Okay, fine. Either way, what option still ended up being the right option? Defusing the bomb. Because running away and leaving it for somebody else is a problem. I want you to be very aware of something. In Israel, if you go to an airport and you drop your suitcase, it is a code red and everybody literally in the immediate area decentralizes and that problem becomes isolated and dealt with instantly. People in America literally leave their suitcases and forget them and walk on planes. And they're sitting there for 3 days before somebody picks it up and steals it. What's the difference? Is the difference in, well, it could have been a bomb and we need to solve the problem? Or is it because we live in a world where, in this country, too many people pass it to the next problem over? Holiness is not something we want to run away from. Holiness is something we need to own. And owning holiness means we own the responsibilities of holiness, which means we don't pass problems on to the next. We don't give people garbage. We don't leave things for other people to clean up. We don't do things that are going to bring harm to another person. We do what's right in the sight of the Lord. Our ways become His ways. Our actions become His actions. Do we understand? There's a big difference there. It's huge. Actions that are aimless and have no positive effect need to be assessed. Do we agree? Too many of us have this. We have it in our daily lives. We do things that we don't. I am guilty of this. I've done things that at the end of the day I go, what did I do that for? I mean, I don't know about you, but sometimes I put my stuff somewhere and I don't remember where I put it. Does that happen to anybody? And then you're yelling across at the other person. Well, what'd you do with it? I didn't touch it. Well, I didn't do it. Well, then we have a rogue burglar that's a ghost in the house that's stealing things and moving them in other parts of the house. I mean, what do you want me to come up with? I don't have a better answer for you. Right? But let's take a look at what we just talked about. Is the goal the problem? If that's the case, then our way could be misguided or misdirected. Is it our way or is it His way? These should be questions we think about on a regular basis. Am I saying things unclearly or is this ringing? Is the process that I'm using based on what I think or what God thinks? Am I even bothering to go find out what He thinks prior to starting the process? I can tell you without unequivocation, so many people make decisions before even consulting God's word or God's people for advice. And then get caught into all kinds of misadventures. And then come back and go, Lord, I need your help. I don't know what happened. And God's just sitting here going, well, I know exactly what happened. And this all could have been prevented if you'd have just come and talked to me first. How many people have been here? How many have just out of our own willful, negligent behaviors decided we can just do this? Oh, what's the harm? And then we come across the, oh, I guess that was the harm. Whoops. Jesus, bail me out. Is that the way we should be living, though? We have to break our default setting and become what God intends us to be, which is holy. The first steps to making this happen is our thoughts and our ways being aligned with His. How do we get our thoughts and our ways aligned with Him? We need to be better students of His word. Amen. And I'm not saying it in the sense of, oh, well, I read or I do a devotion or I do that. I'm not talking about that now. Let's be clear. Devotions are great. Reading God's word is great. Learning about the many different examples and stories of the Bible, right? Who's David? And what did he do? What's he most historically known for doing? Thank you. You get one. And I will not accept another fail on your behalf. Ready for the next one? Samson. Oh my goodness gracious. Send him back. Send him back. He needs more. It's better, but you know what? That doesn't matter if you don't understand the reason behind it, right? If you don't know the story, you know the story, that's great. What good does the story do if you don't understand how it actually impacts you daily? If you can't relate, then you're missing the point. Yep. Every single word in this entire book is relatable if you let it. Everyone. Not one word in here is not relatable. Jesus wept. Go cry. I don't care if you're a guy. Don't tell me it's not manly to cry. Jesus wept. You should too. Man up. Own it. There's nothing shameful in it. Right? The point is, too often, we just go in and we do a devotion and we read and study and we think that that's what it is. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about this is a resource. It is an actual resource for when we need to know what God is saying right now in the moment. And too often, we don't care. We'll figure it out. I'll do it on the road. I'll learn on the fly. You don't understand. I'm one of those guys that learns by example. Okay. You know the people that already did. Okay. Yeah, but there's examples. Okay. How'd that feel? Didn't feel good? You know who also would have told you that didn't feel good? Right? Think about that. Think about it. But you don't go. I'm talking about literally looking at things from a different scope of understanding the frailty of our mind and our need for it to be renewed on a daily basis. Our ability to recognize that I don't know everything and I don't need to know everything. It's already here. I just need to use the resource, the tool that is on me to do that. Does it make it easier the more I'm in it and it knows me? Does it make it quicker? Sure, absolutely it does. Sure, if you become a really good student of God's Word, I mean, I'm not saying you need to be a Bible verse number guy. I'm not saying you need to memorize chapters and know the page number and the word at the 700th word. And I'm not saying you need to know that. That's not going to make you more efficient. What makes you more efficient is knowing what and how, right? We're trying to correct the how. The how is what we need to correct. And so if the how is unanswered, then let's go find what the how says. Do we agree? Okay. Then we're on the right track. When we go there and we get the how, then we have the second part, which is to do what? It's real simple. Correct. Do it. Right. Number two, our actions need to be his actions. So I go find out how to do it. And then I follow the instructions. Guys, it's tough. I know. It's really difficult. It's an instruction manual. It says part A goes into part B. Just follow the instructions. But I like to use the hammer. You don't need a hammer for this one. You need a screwdriver. But I like the hammer. It makes the loud bang. No. Stop. Pick up the screwdriver. Use the screwdriver. You know these guys, right? I don't need to ask for directions. Just ask for directions. Why? I don't need to. I don't need to read the instructions. It's simple. This part goes to this part. Then you have a desk that's upside down. Argue with me. You know these people. You might have been one of these people. Right? But if we go to the how, and we don't use the how to change our actions, then what good was it? Think about it. What good was it? So here's how I am. This is how I treat things. And this is just a little testimony. I don't like having my time wasted. How many people like wasting time? You like just wasting time? Like, all right, I'll give you a better example. I want to go and spend an hour doing something, realizing I did it wrong. Now I have to take it apart, which takes an hour, and then another hour to do it all over again. How many people sign up for that? You want to take apart a transmission? Then put it back together and then realize you put the wrong piece on and then you have to take it all apart again and then redo it again. Anybody want to do that? Doesn't sound like fun, right? Right? That doesn't sound like fun at all. Wouldn't it have been a lot better if you just read the manual on how to put the transmission together the first time and did it correctly the first time? I want to tell you something. Here's the biggest thing. I'm going to tell you the secret to tips one and tips two. Tips one and tips two are the easiest two that we're going to go through, but they're also the hardest because we auction off the one thing, time. We are humans in a very finite period of time that very much treasure the time that we have. And we don't like it being wasted, correct? We like to make the most of the time we have. But I'm going to give you one little tip, and thank you, Ed. You actually did this last night. You don't know that you did. But I'm going to take something you said. It is better to take your time and do it right the first time than it is to have messed it up and have to repeat it all over again 100% of the time. So what does that mean here? What does it mean? Take your time with God's word. Spend the time, take your time. Figure out what he's saying. Don't move until you're clear and you understand the how, so that you can then clearly understand the action and then do it. Take your time. You have a lifetime to do it right, and you might not know, but you could just be that guy who's literally being told, I only want you to do this one thing. But God is circumventing, or not circumventing, what's the word? I'll change it. He's very much interested that you don't just not do it, but that you do it and that you do it correctly. If you only had one thing that God said, I want you to do, don't you think you would take very much the considerate amount of time to make sure you don't screw it up? Especially if you know. Could you please, sir, go back to the Roman scripture, Nolan? Especially if you know that the consequences for messing it up could very much be that you are broken off of that branch and you are set apart. And if you continue to read that, what happens to those branches that were in unbelief? What happens? They get burned in the fire. You don't know what God's plans and intentions are for you unless you go find out. And if you find out and you're disobedient, what's your future? I don't want us in that place. I don't want anybody in that place. Holiness is so important that we do it right, that we should take the care and the time necessary to make sure we're doing it right. Amen? I think we have to change our mentality and how we approach our lives as believers in Christ Jesus. Amen? We have to change our approach. We cannot continue just trying to do the amount of things that we think God's trying to call us to do, thinking, well, I did all of these things in your name, Jesus. Well, I only asked you to do one. And you've been doing all of these other things in my name that I didn't ask you to do. I'm sorry, I never knew you. I don't want us there, church. I don't. So I think it's so utterly important that this word come out in a way that we understand the magnitude of taking the time to spend to find out what he is saying for us personally so that we do the how right. Amen? Amen. Can we do this together, church? How about we also do another step and hold each other accountable to this? Amen? Because that's also what we're supposed to do. That's how iron sharpens iron. You got to have the first one being an actual piece of iron. And the other one needs to be a piece of iron too. So let's do this together, church. Amen? Amen. Father, your word has gone out. Lord, I pray, Father, that it does what it is supposed to do. That, Lord, it finds fertile soil. It grows. It multiplies. It convicts us, God. It changes us drastically and dynamically more and more into your Son, more into your holiness, God, that we are obedient to follow and do that which you have called us to do, God. But let us be also, God, diligent to make sure that we are taking the time necessary to do it right. You are patient, God. You are forgiving. You are loving. You are caring. But I know also, God, that you are very much concerned about the execution and it being done according to your will and your purpose, God. So let our ways be your ways and let our actions be your actions as you continue to show and train us in Jesus' mighty name. And all God's people said, amen. Amen.